Turn on the news today, and what's the first thing you're going to hear about? I heard election, and I heard coronavirus. I was actually going for coronavirus. It's killed 2,900 people, affected another 86,000 others. And what makes it so dangerous is if somebody sneezes, and someone who has coronavirus sneezes, and you breathe it in, you're going to get it. Or if somebody sneezes on something and you touch that and you wipe your eyes or your nose or your mouth, it's so contagious, you will likely catch it. If we have any hope of stopping the spread of this dangerous virus, we have to do things differently. We can't keep doing the same things over and over again. We need to make a significant change. We have a long scripture text from the book of Judges today, and at the end of it, I conclude what the scripture passage is saying. You can't keep doing what you've always done. You've got to make a significant change. Let's jump in and see it. So we're starting a new series today called Messy People, Merciful God. Anyone today think they are messy? We have some liars, which makes you messy as well. It's a series through the book of Judges. And so just before the book of Judges comes the book of Joshua. And do you remember who Joshua is? Joshua replaced Moses, and at the end of the book of Joshua, he's standing there with all the Israelites, and he says, if you are obedient, you will live, and if you are disobedient, you will die. And so then he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the Israelites together said, yes, we will too. Woohoo! Then comes Judges 2:11 that says, then the Israelites did things that the Lord saw as wonderful. No, what does it say? They did things that the Lord saw as evil. And if you're thinking to yourself, how could they 10 seconds ago say, yes, we will choose the Lord, woohoo, and 10 seconds later do things that are evil? Well, I have a story for you. Little Coco, who went off to Sunday school, he gets migraine headaches. And by the way, he said it was okay to share this. In order to stop those migraines, he has to take medication, pills every morning and every night. If he forgets them, odds are pretty good he's going to get a migraine. So on Thursday night, Michelle comes to sing in the choir. And as she leaves, when I get home from work, she says, make sure Coco takes his medicine. And I'm like, yep. And then she comes home from choir and asks, did he take his medicine? We are all forgetful at times, aren't we? So maybe it's understandable to say that the Israelites can say, woohoo, God, and then 10 seconds later, do something evil. Or maybe it's more intentional than that. How many of us, when we're walking through the park and we see this sign, it says wet paint, all right? So I know, based on my biology, that all the males in the room will immediately go, is it wet? And then the better halves of us in the room would say, you guys are crazy, don't even touch it, it says wet paint. Wanted to make sure that we're all included in this, though. There's this other sign, and when you see this sign, you probably, like me, think it means don't go over 35. That's a super slow speed. For some reason, we are hardwired that if someone in authority tells us don't do something, we immediately want to do it. And so if God says, don't worship any other gods but me, they're hardwired to say, huh, what does that look like? With that in mind, let's imagine that we are Israelites 3,500 years ago. There's no Facebook. How you doing so far? Good? Sherry has given up Facebook for Lent. At least that's what she said on Facebook. So there's no Facebook because there's no internet, there's no electricity, there's no banks, and there's no money. So if you're going to make a living, it's simply by what you can grow, okay? And if we think back to the book of Joshua, we didn't go through this, but after they left Israel and they entered into the promised land, they got there and they looked around and they said, hey, there's people already living here. And so they said, excuse me, God gave me this land. Could you move over so I can live here? Those of us who've read the book of Joshua know it was slightly more violent. So they kicked out the people who were there, and now they're there, and they throw their seeds in the ground, and they're waiting for it to rain. And they're like, yeah, what's going on? And so they look around and they see other people who are in the land who weren't actually kicked out, and they're growing their crops as well. And they do this other thing. You see, we come to worship on Sundays and we sing hymns and we hear sermons, and sometimes we do this routine where we walk around the room a few times during the song to place the messy cloth on the cross. But they worship differently. They worship this person called Baal and Astarte, right? And so it's not raining, and their crops are suffering, and our seeds are suffering as well, and we're not sure what's going to happen. And they come and they say, hey, if you come and you worship Baal, the rain god, and worship Astarte, the fertility god, it will rain. But you're an Israelite. You're one of God's chosen, and you politely decline, and you say, that's okay. God told me I can only worship God alone. And so you go on. And now it's a month later, and it still hasn't rained, and these other guys are looking at you like, just give in. If you give in, it's going to rain, and our plants are going to grow. And you're like, well... And you know that if your seeds don't grow, you're not going to have any food. You're going to have to go and beg them for food, and they're going to say, no, you didn't come and worship Baal and Astarte. You're the reason that we're suffering right now. So no, I'm not going to give you food. So finally you say, okay, let's go over to your temple and let's see what it's like. Anyone in elementary still in the room? Perfect, because now that when we talk about Baal and Astarte, it's an adult conversation. So you end up in the temple where Baal and Astarte are worshipped, okay? And you look up front, and there are all these priests and priestesses at the front. And someone at the front of the line says, I want you, let's go worship Baal. So you go behind the curtain, and you remind Baal and Astarte what human fertilization looks like. Does that make sense? Ritual, legal prostitution. And so you're standing there and you're like, the reason my seeds aren't growing, or the reason there's no rain is because, wait, you guys do what in church? Well, what's the harm in just giving it a try? In the midst of this, oh, by the way, when I tell junior hires about Baal and Astarte and this particular segment of it, they're like, that's in the Bible? I'm going to read that book. So as an Israelite in ancient Israel, you're told God is the only one you can serve, but it's not raining, and everyone else is relying on this specific practice, and you go over there and you're like, well, let's just give it one time, and you give it a try. And then comes this from God. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshiped the Baals and the Astartes. Can you see how complex that situation is? It's a messy and complex situation, is it not? Sometimes when we look at the book of Judges and they say, wow, they messed up again, what idiots. But if we get over our emotion of the situation and we realize, well, it was a hugely complex and messy situation. It turns out that when we look at our own lives tend to be deeply complex and messy as well. Let me give you some examples. We are at worship this morning, saying that we trust God and God alone. But come Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we talk to people like Jay, and we check our 401ks to make sure we have enough money in there so we can be financially secure. We worship the God of financial security. Anyone willing to admit they do that? We pray every week, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we worship the God of comfort. And really, if I am to take care of this person, it requires to me to give up some of my comfort, and I am unwilling to do that. We say to God, here am I, send me. But God, don't send me to that place. They have coronavirus. Don't send me there. They don't have drinkable water. Send me to Riverside, where it's comfortable. Jesus says, sell all you have and give to the poor. But I tell you this morning, I refuse to expose my family to a home that doesn't have locked doors or comfortable beds, or in the case of right now, heat. Ancient Israel put God in a quandary. Would God be just? Worship me and me only. If you obey, you have life. If you disobey, you have death. Or would God be merciful? In verse 14, it says, so the Lord became angry with Israel, and he handed them over to the raiders who plundered them, and he let them be defeated by their enemies. So God started with justice. He said, fine, if you're going to worship the Baals and the Astartes, you're going to get smashed. And like we always do when things aren't going our way, we cry out to God, why, God? Why is this happening? And verse 18 says, the Lord was moved by Israel's groaning under those who oppressed and crushed them. So then the Lord would raise up leaders for them, and the Lord would be with the leader, and they would rescue Israel from the powers of their enemies as long as that leader lived. And then once that leader died, guess what? Saturday night at Baal and Astarte, Sunday morning back in church. And the cycle would continue over and over and over again. Perhaps you're like me and you're messy, and you're wondering, what's it going to take? I fall into the same cycle over and over again. The same sins keep coming up in my life over and over again. How can I overcome it? In the weeks to come, we're going to be exposed to ancient heroes, the judges, like Deborah, like, I had them earlier, Gideon, yeah. We're going to be exposed to these judges who lived good lives and made good decisions. But what hope is that for you today? Well, if we go back to the beginning of our text, to verse 10, and it's on the screen, it's not actually printed in our bulletin, it says, when that whole generation had passed away, another generation came after them who didn't know the Lord or the things that the Lord had done for Israel. So maybe I was a little tricky earlier when I said 10 seconds earlier they said, yes, God, and suddenly they forgot. It turns out that they had gotten so comfortable with their lives that they stopped reading their Bibles. They stopped telling the stories about what God had done in their lives. So much so that when they started worshiping the Baals and the Astartes, it didn't even faze them. This is the season of Lent, 40 days of focus, 40 days of self-reflection. If we but focus on God, and one possible way is going through this Lenten devotional. If every morning we start with our devotion, we start with God and we say, God, you're going to be the focus of my day today. Then when the Baals and the Astartes come up, when our 401ks decrease ever so slightly and we get anxious about it, if we focus on God and rely on God, maybe we won't worry about those things. Will you join me in journeying for this next 40 days to put God first in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we think? Will you? That was a really disappointing response. Friends, let us journey this Lent together. If we are going to stop the cycle, we have to do something differently. Instead of repeatedly looking at whatever gods we've created, let's look to God, at least for this next 40 days. Amen? Please join me in prayer. God, we are messy people, and we're grateful for your merciful response to us. We pray through these next 40 days that you might be the focus of all that we do, all that we say, and all that we think. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.